Number one, we're gonna pray. Would y'all pray with me?
Yeah.
It's been a rough week, so I need you guys to pray with me. Okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you with bowed heads and humble hearts.
Yes, we do, Father.
Lord, we thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
For giving us another day.
Yes.
Thank you for waking us up this morning and holding us in our right mind.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that we have for one another.
Yes.
We thank you for the memories that you give us of our loved ones that have gone on to glory.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you.
Yes.
As I speak to your people, Heavenly Father, use me to be your mouthpiece.
Yes.
Let me speak the words that you would have me to speak, Heavenly Father, so that someone would be encouraged, uplifted, inspired. We will edify you, magnify you, glorify you, give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. Because without you, we are nothing. We love you. We're nothing without you. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise, for it's in your precious, 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 precious Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Second thing, I want y'all to turn to, while we are standing, we're going to give reverence to the Lord as we read his word, scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 34 to 39. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
I only heard it once, so I'm going to wait a few more minutes. More amens out here, it means that everybody's getting there.
Amen.
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 Amen. As the scripture reads, it says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall he find it." You may be seated. It is great to be back home. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Miss you guys. Whenever we are not here, I miss you guys.
Yeah.
I miss me and Pastor up here just fooling around, anecdotes and speaking and just playing around. I miss the love that I am able to give you, the love that you're able to give me.
Yes.
I miss that.
Yes.
I miss that. So I love my family. Pastor, he wants some money. He ain't made it money. Because I did it. But nevertheless, so we was able to bowl and you know the good thing about it is whatever you do and wherever you go, you take the word with you.
Amen.
So you are to touch individuals wherever you go and whatever you are doing. Make sure that you are an ambassador for Christ, touching lives wherever you go. Amen.
Amen.
We're always at the bowling alley, so. And we have our bowling alley sisters here with us today. So, in Matthew, oh, a couple more things. After church today, we also have some hefty snacks. Let me take care of this because I'll get caught up in a moment. So I'm going to take care of this now, okay? After church today, you go out to the garage. We have some more healthy snacks for you. That Brother Fred has brought in. Bless you, Brother Fred. You're always looking out for our well-being. We thank you for thinking of us. Amen?
Amen.
So we have some healthy snacks. Also, before we go healthy, one of our young ladies, would you please stand up? Sister Lauren Lindsay, God bless you. She will be competing next year in the Miss Michigan team 2017. So not only is she going to represent her city, her state, her church, but more importantly, you're going to represent who?
Jesus.
That's right.
That was supposed to come out your mouth. So, after church, so what she wants to do, and she wants the support of her congregation, she will be starting to sell snacks and goodies, if you will, after service every Sunday. Her goal is what? Okay, so we want to be able to be a blessing to her in raising that. Amen. We want to be able to put a dent in there for her. She's not going to just go to her church, but she's going to her community as well. So we want to be the first to be able to support her. Amen.
Amen.
We are very excited about our young people doing positive things today. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. After the service today, we will be able to support her. Okay?
Amen.
All right. So now that we have that taken care of, we're going to go, let's just dig in. Let's get busy.
Let's eat.
So we read together Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 39. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. And it's not just the 12. It's the others that have heard what he was doing good deeds, and decided to give their life to Christ. So it wasn't just the 12 disciples he was talking to. He was talking to all the others who have joined his ministry. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So, when he says, we're going to start with verse 34, when he says, don't think that I came to bring peace. Now, that sounds kind of contradictory, doesn't it? Because in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says that he was the prince of peace was to come. Isaiah was prophetic. So he was speaking what was to happen. So the prince of peace was to come. That was Isaiah 9. Then it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, on earth peace to men. When Jesus was born, he was to bring peace to all men. Right. And then when he got ready, before he got ready to leave, he told his disciples in John 14:27 that peace I leave with you, which meant he was leaving the Holy Spirit. He was sending the Holy Spirit after his departure. So it's kind of contradictory here that he said, don't think I came to bring peace.
Yes.
I didn't come to bring peace. Well, he came to bring peace for the believers. But see, he had some issues for those that was up against him, such as the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Right.
such as those that was coming up against him in his ministry, which is what we go through every day. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so there was a conflict here between the believers and the non-believers. This is why he came with the sword. This is what his purpose for the sword. He's going to dig in, and he wants you as disciples to be able to decipher the believers and the non-believers. There is going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict. There is conflict in light and darkness. That's a conflict, right? And then you also have conflict even amongst members of your family. Amen.
Amen.
We all have that, right?
Yeah.
Those that know that we're following Christ and those that say, all right, they don't want to follow Christ. That's a conflict.
Yeah.
So, and this is what he's talking about here when he says he comes with the sword, and he also and he comes to set man against his father. The mother against the daughter. Mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
The conflict here is that you have the believers against the non-believers.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So, and then he says in 36, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. We have individuals in our household that we come up against. Not that we want to, but when you become a follower of Christ, there's going to be some conflict.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what he wants you to know. There's going to be conflict, even in your own household.
All right.
There's going to be conflict. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. But see, when he goes on to verse 37, and he's talking about, if you love your mother, you love your father more than me, you're not worthy of me. Well, now that we've become disciples of Christ, we have been set apart.
Right.
Sanctification. We have been set apart. You cannot love your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife more than you love Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that one more time. You cannot love your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, your husband, or your wife more than you love Jesus. It's not going to happen. That is, when he said he's a jealous God back in Exodus, he meant what he said. You put nobody above him. No one and nothing is above Jesus Christ. In a minute, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to tell you why that, okay? So, now, when we go to verse 38, he says, if you don't take up your cross. Now, the cross, Matthew 10, verse 38. This is the very first time he mentions the cross. It's in Matthew, New Testament. It's the first time he mentions the cross. Now, we all know what the cross is for, right? The cross is for death. Everyone that was in those days that died, they were to, it was an instrument used. That's why they did crucifixions, okay? So when you died, you carried your cross to your death. So, and this is, and it's metaphoric, but it's also symbolic. Because when we carry our cross, Jesus Christ is telling us that we are being total committed to him unto death. He said, if you don't take your cross, then you're not worthy of me. That means all of our issues that we have, it's on that cross. Okay? Life, our jobs, our homes, backstabbers, persecutors, all of that is on your cross. All of that is on your cross. So when you're carrying, when you're saying you're following Christ, you're taking all of that with you. Because who bears the cross more than he did? He didn't say a word. So why are we complaining? Why are we complaining about our cross? That's what we have to do. We're totally committed. We're submitting ourselves to Christ Jesus. This is what we have. This is just something we have to do. It is a rites of passage. Men have rites of passage. Women have rites of passage. Believers have rites of passage. That's our rite of passage. We have to take our cross. And we have to carry our cross. Even to death. Amen. Amen. He didn't promise us that we was going to have roses. But he said he wasn't going to leave us nor what? Forsake us. Amen. So we have to carry our cross. Now, in verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So when you're finding your life, in the first part, he that findeth his life. Now, that first word, that first life, is talking about your soul. We're so busy gaining everything. He said, what did it profit a man that gains the world and loses his soul? Exactly. That means you're losing your life to the material things of the world. To the temporal things of the world. This world is not definite. It's temporal. It's not even going to be here much longer. And the way some of these things are going on, I'm like, are we about there next week? I'm wondering. Things are happening. I'm like, wow. I'm checking my house.
Right.
Check your house.
Yeah.
Time to do his house check.
Yeah.
Not the one that we go in, swinging doors open and making sure that the lock's on and the alarm on.
Yeah.
But check your house.
Yeah.
Check your temple.
Yeah.
Time to do a temple check.
Yeah.
Are you doing it right? Are you living right? Are you acting right? Are you talking right? Amen.
Amen.
It's time to do a house check. And we should do that daily.
Yes.
Every day. Before you lay down, do a house check.
That's right.
Yeah.
And whatever was wrong, make it right.
Yeah.
Sit on the side of your bed or your favorite easy chair and say, Lord,
thank you.
Did I do everything that I was supposed to do today for you?
Yeah.
Or did it do it for myself? Was I supposed to witness to that individual? Or did I just zoom on past because I ain't had time because I was trying to get that ground beef and get in line because I saw the whole line coming behind me and I didn't have time? Let's do a house check. Daily, in the evening. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, remember when I said that sanctification would be a set apart?
Yeah.
That you cannot love anything more than you love Christ Jesus?
Yeah. Right.
The reason why is in Matthew 6 and 33. Write that down. Write that down. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all things shall be added unto who?
You.
That means seek him first. He's going to add everything to it. He's going to fix that relationship that has been broken. He's going to fix that job where it seems like that you're being ridiculed and persecuted every day. He is going to take care of everything, but he cannot do it when you are putting everything before him. How can he move? How can he show you who he is, what he does all the time if you're trying to do it yourself?
Yes.
If you put everything else before him, you cannot put everything before him because he is jealous.
Yes.
He is a jealous God. Yes. You cannot serve God and man.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
So we get upset because we think that it's the godly thing to do if we be obedient and submissive to that horizontal partner. Well, sometimes that horizontal partner is not being nice, is not being supportive, is not ministering to me.
Yes.
It's not encouraging me. But we put that person first before we did Christ. So now you wonder why he's not, or she, he or she, are not being nice, are not being support. And I'm not just talking about your mate. I'm talking about your child. Any horizontal relationship is every relationship we have here on earth. Every relationship we have here on earth, they're all horizontal. Horizontal. This is all horizontal relationships. If we put all of these relationships before our vertical relationship, how is our vertical relationship able to move, able to fix, repair, restore, reconcile, revive? How is our vertical relationship with our Father able to do anything on our horizontal relationship when we are not looking up? See, there's a reason when they say, look to the hills from which cometh your help. So, metaphorically speaking, we're looking to the hills. The hills are higher than our eyes, higher than the lower plains here. Okay? But who's in the hills? Who's at Mount Sinai when Moses went up there? Okay? That's where we look to for our help. That is where our help comes from. That is our being. Anything that we want to happen horizontally, we have to be lined up and in tune vertically. That is being the disciple of Christ. That is being an ambassador of Christ. This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to put down all that stuff aside, lay down aside, and follow him.
Amen.
When you follow Christ, everything else works itself out.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He's not going to tell you to follow him and he just wants you to forget everything that's going on. No, because if you follow Christ, that means everything else is lining up.
That's right.
Everything else is going to line up. Your relationship with your children is going to line up. Your relationship with your significant other, with your spouse, on your job. And you know what? And people will sit up there and look at themselves and like, I don't know what I did. Why was I so nice to you today? They don't even have a clue.
Yeah.
But because you are vertically lined up with Christ, he has worked it out for you already. People don't even understand why they do what they do when they're doing something nice for you or being nice to you. They don't even understand it. That's because you have lined up vertically and God is taking care of everything horizontally. He is working it out for you. That's what he does. That's who he is. Let's give the Lord some praise. Because he's so awesome. So awesome. So, when we have seeked him first and all of things have been added unto us, there's a couple of things that requires our attention. That is ownership, responsibility, and accountability.
Amen.
We are lined up. We are disciples. We are doing his will. We're seeking him first. But we have some things that we have to do to make sure that everything stays lined up horizontally. Ownership. Own the word. Own who you are and whose you are. You are his. He owns you. He paid a price with his life. He died for you. He owns you. Not that we no longer have to be a slave to our own sin. We don't have to be a slave to ourselves. See, the old sinful nature was owning us. But now that we are born again, Christ owns us.
Yes.
We are his.
Yes.
So you walk as though You are His.
All right.
You are beautifully, wonderfully, and uniquely made in His image.
Yes.
Walk in that. Own it. You know how they be saying, girl, you better own it. Own it. And that's how you walk. Brothers, own it. I'm a child of God. Can't nothing deter me. Can't nothing break me down. Because I am owning. I am owned. I'm His ownership. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now be responsible.
Yes.
Be responsible. You be responsible for the word. You be responsible for your life.
Yeah.
You be responsible for those bringing those to Christ.
Yeah, man.
You are responsible.
Yes, we are.
You're responsible for that.
Man.
Because, you know, when he says, stand up and be a witness.
Stand up and be a witness. Yeah.
Not just stand up seeing that you're a witness, but you're walking.
Come on.
As a witness.
Come on right now.
You're walking. And it's not about saying, Lord, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? No. They going to come up to you anyway.
That's right.
Because you are inviting. The sign that the invisible sign that you have, it says, I am a witness. Means they can come and ask you anything they want, or they can come and tell you anything that they want. Whether they are looking for a word of encouragement or they're just giving you a testimony.
Right.
Some people have no one to talk to.
Amen.
In a positive setting.
Right.
So when they see you in the grocery store and they sit up, you're sitting up here talking about cantaloupes and they want to give you a testimony referring from a cantaloupe, and you sit there and listen. That is being a witness.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Because you're taking the time to sit up there and hear someone else saying how good God is. Everybody can't get here to the church house.
Right.
That's why we have to take it with us everywhere we go.
Yeah.
We are the church. Amen?
Amen?
This is where we come to congregate, encourage each other, lift each other up.
Right.
But we are the walking church.
Right.
And that's what we're supposed to do. People are going to come to you and they're going to witness to you.
That's right.
They're going to tell you about what's good or what's bad. Now, here's the thing. Someone tells you about some bad stuff going on and you don't have anything to say, you don't have nothing that moment, I'm going to pray for you.
Yep.
You can't do some things you're not supposed to even fix. It's not for you to fix. It is for you to do your job as a witness. And one of the responsibilities of our job as a witness is to be able to pray for one another. Encourage one another. A gentleman was telling me he got ran off of the road and flipped 6 times and didn't even know that he was going to make it. And he went to one hospital and they dismissed him, told him everything was fine. And then he was at a store and he almost collapsed, went to another hospital. He had 2 broken ribs and he was bleeding on the brain.
Oh, wow.
And all I could say was, oh, well, thank you, Lord, you're here to tell the story.
Yeah.
And he was able to go on and tell more stories.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, I had only had a couple of minutes. But by the end of him telling his other stories to me, and he's sitting here just smiling. I'm thinking, Lord, I only got so much time. They're going to get mad. My boss going to be calling, looking for me, saying, where you are, where you are. But let me tell you how he blessed me afterwards.
Amen.
After he got through giving his testimonies and sharing with me, he says, you know, Jesus was in the midst of us. Because he said, where 2 or 3 are gathered, there I am in the middle. That blessed my heart.
Amen.
Because he didn't know me from a can of paint. Never seen me before. But he thought he wanted to share some things with me. And I just say, sometimes that's all they want to do is have an ear.
That's right.
Amen.
We don't have to say nothing.
All right.
Sometimes all we do is listen. Isn't that right, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. So you have a responsibility as a witness.
Yes.
Carry the torch.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
You are God's ambassador. You are his disciple.
Yes.
So we are to be, we are ownership. We have ownership, right?
Right.
And we have responsibility.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to talk about accountability. Accountability is being accountable for your actions. Mm-hmm. Be it good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Whatever your actions are, you are to be accountable for them.
Yes.
Whatever your actions are, you are to be accountable for them.
Yeah.
So, you got up this morning, you're feeling real good, and then you got in the car, got in on the freeway, getting ready to go to work, and somebody cut you off, and you flipped them off. And it happens. Ain't that right, Pastor? One time, boy, Pastor chased this person down, and I was like, Lord Jesus, speak to him, Father. Take his foot off the gas, Lord Jesus. Now he won't know why. I won't ride with him. I'll drive you, but I ain't gonna ride. The whole time I was driving him yesterday, he was saying, see, babe, look, you let that happen. Look what you just let happen. Look what you just let happen. I wouldn't have let that happen. Look what you did. Look, now everything gonna change. Because he was right. That's one of those moments he's going to say, babe, you talk too much. So, but I had to learn to have peace even in my car because I used to do the same thing.
Right.
I used to get mad. I used to ride up on them, and I had a lead foot. And I used to ride up on them and roll my window down. And sometimes, some looks I give, they just bag on off. Go on, But I had to learn that.
Yes.
And as me really getting into following Christ, following him, then I found out that I have to make some changes.
Yeah.
I can't be the same way I came in.
Amen.
When I gave my life to Christ and said I wanted some things to change. I want to do some different things with you, Lord. I had to make a change myself. I can't be the same way I was and say, God, I know my heart. He does. He knows your heart. He knows your mind.
Yeah.
He knows your action. He knows it all before you do it. But sometimes he really wants to see if it's working, this newness in you.
Yeah.
You know, show him. I mean, he knows anyway whichever you're going to do. But sometimes it's good just to show him that, Lord, I know I said I was going to go left, but I'm going to go right today. Because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to be accountable for me. Be accountable for you. Be accountable because you are, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Now, if you did not give that word to that individual because they just, it just pissed you off. I have an employer, my boss at work. I've been at this job for over 20 years. And you would think that of 20 years of employment, there'd be a little bit more trust going on. But, you know, throughout those 20 years, I had to learn that when you steal, you think everybody else steal. So, because my employer's spouse was stealing, now every time an envelope comes across my desk, they got to do a double check to make sure that I'm not stealing. But that's your life. That's who you are.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
I guess that's the God you serve. I don't know. But that's not me.
That's right.
That's not who I am. So it's kind of offending for you to offend me that way. So as many chances as I used to get, I used to couldn't wait to buck up against him. First of all, he was a man. Not so much as he's a man, don't get me wrong, gentlemen. Not so much that he's a man, but he was a man of Arab descent. So you already know, men of Arab descent and has the Muslim faith means that I am just supposed to be seen and not heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can y'all imagine this big mouth? Being seen and not heard? Exactly. You can't imagine it. Cannot imagine it. I got sixes in citizenship growing up. And you know I only went to three. Because I had a big mouth. But not only that, I always believed in do the right thing.
That's right.
Do the right thing. No matter what, do the right thing because it's going to come back on you. You are a representation of Christ. Do the right thing. So for a few years, I would buck with him and he couldn't stand it. He could not stand it, couldn't stand it. But see, I was trying to make a point.
Yeah.
And that point was, you ain't no better than me.
Uh-huh.
I serve an awesome God.
Yes.
Now, I will respect you.
Yeah.
But you're going to get me mad.
Amen.
You're going to get me mad. And as Christians and as born-again believers, you can be bold.
Amen.
I'm not saying be disrespectful, but be bold of who you are. Because that's what happened. When Christ died, the veil was torn. We no longer need a priest or a pastor or a reverend to pray for us. We can go to the throne ourselves, boldly asking for what we want and believing that he's going to do it for us. Amen?
Amen.
Couple more things and then I'm done. So then, after a few years and after I have started really studying the word and looking at myself and saying that, you know what, there's some things about you that you need to change. There's some things about you that you change. I have been born again since I was 9 years old. I love the Lord, and I know I had a relationship with him since I was 9 years old, but my mouth, not only was it big, it was sailorish. I used to think that I could not get my point across unless it had about 3 or 4 cuss words in it. Because see, I wanted you to know really how serious I was.
Yeah.
And how serious this situation is.
Yeah.
And I guess as growing up, you know, people in my family, when they was getting mad and loud, if it wasn't a couple of cuss words in there, you really didn't get it unless you got the look. It was either the cuss words or you got the look. One of the two. One of the two. I'm taking a page out of your book. So I had to curtail my tongue so that I wouldn't sound so much as a trash bin. And you know what? When I started curtailing my tongue, some of my girlfriends that I talk to, I'm like, I'm saying to myself, girl, would you shut up? Can you give me a complete thought of why you mad and what that person did to you without 5 curse words? Can you do that for me? I understand. Stop telling me you know. I do know. But stop putting that in the conversation. It's a you know curse word. No. Okay, I got that part. So what happened? I did not judge my sister. I just prayed for her. Because see, the point that I had got to, that I need to curtail my tongue. So now when she has conversations with me, she sees herself that I don't do all that cussing that I used to.
Right.
And guess what? she has curtailed her vocabulary now. See, we don't always have to go down and browbeat somebody on what they need to do for Christ. All they got to do is see it in us. See us doing it. That's the change is going to, trust me, the change is going to come. But they got to see you with, they got to see you being a witness. Us witnesses is not always us talking. It's us living. Amen. Couple more things. So, now that we are, now we're in our accountability by us witnessing, Philippians, it's hot in this jacket too. Lord Jesus. It says, Philippians 4:6 says, be careful, or let's just say anxious, for nothing, but in everything. I love Cat Williams. Everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. That you are, I'm praying, Lord, I need deliverance on this, but I thank you because you're going to do it. I'm not going to be anxious about it because I know it needs to be done. But I'm praying to you and I'm thanking you for already what you're going to do. Amen. We thank him for who he is. We thank him for what he's doing. And we thank him for what he's going to do. Our prayers is not always about supplication. But when you have a prayer of supplication, you're praying not anxiously for what he's going to do. But you're praying, no, thanking him because you know he is going to do it. Amen. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. Bro. We meet you. Climax. We're getting there. Climax. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, because of who he is and what he does, who he is in our lives, because of the ownership, the responsibility, and the accountability, because of us being disciples and us being set apart and us witnessing to one another, it all had to come from our salvation. We had to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve death. But because of you, who you are, because of what I believe, that you were born, you died on the cross, you rose on the third day, and you have all power next to God, I'm saved.
Yes.
That's my salvation. Nobody can take that away from you. Amen?
Amen.
And trust me, we all stumble. That's who we are. We are humans. We all stumble, but make it right. The day, at the end of the night, make it right. What does the word say? Do not let the wrath go down. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Excuse me. So whatever is something wrong, make it right before you go to sleep. That person may not, you may not wake up the next day. That person may not wake up the next day. You want to be able to have a good night's sleep with all that stuff. So after you do your reflection, anything that's not right, and if you can't reach that person, then you say a prayer of forgiveness, asking or giving it to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then after all of that, Colossians 3:17. Here's your charge. This is your charge. Colossians 3:17 says this. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Everything that you do, there's a reason and there's a purpose. Everything that you do. Your deeds, everything that you say, your words, whatever you believe, however you act. The pastor always says this, whatever is in you, gonna come out of you.
Amen.
So if it's not good, pray for deliverance.
Amen.
And if it is good, pray. afraid to give it away. Don't keep it for yourself. He didn't give it to you to keep to himself. Just think, if Jesus Christ kept it all to himself, he wouldn't even came down. That was 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. And they're sitting up there, the Trinity sitting up there saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with them? And Jesus said, Lord, send me, I go. He said, send me. And that's that type of attitude and mindset that we need to have is, Lord, send me, I'll go. And it's not always pretty and it's not always good. And guess what? It's not always going to be in a holy setting. That's why you have to be equipped with the word. You have to study your word for yourself because you never know where you're going to end up. You may not be, you may be at the bar, at the club. You may be at a cabaret. Maybe at the casino. Maybe in Vegas. Yay, that's where we're going. For our honeymoon in a bowling tournament. But wherever you be, you make sure that you are doing exactly what Christ wants you to do. Show them that you are his. Be responsible for who you are. And be accountable for everything that you do. Do not say, why me? Anymore. Do not say, I can't anymore. Because if the Lord has given you a charge, if he's giving you assignment, he's giving you assignment. All of you don't have the same assignment. We all don't have the same assignment. We're not all supposed to do the same thing. But whatever he has given you to do, you do that assignment the best of your ability. The best of your ability. Now, God, you want God to bless you with all of this abundant things, but you can't even take care of that little bitty thing he has given you to do. Who are we to sit up there to keep constantly asking for more, and we haven't even been done with the little things that he's given to us? This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to be accountable. A very dear friend of mine, beautiful person, and she has a ministry, and she's working her ministry. But it seems like every time she gets ready to work this ministry, something else comes up, another obstacle. Something else is bothering. Something else done got in the way. Something else has tried to kill her spirit for what she's doing for Christ. And guess what she does? And I'm so encouraged by her. She keeps it moving. She keeps it moving. God has given, and she says, God has given me this assignment, this task. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to do it. But you got death over here. You got illness over here. You got missing over there. You got sickness back there. All around. But guess what? She keeps it moving. And it all goes with her too. Death, illness, sickness, persecution. Everything is being taken. She's taking it with her. She's taking, and this is a story of encouragement. Guys, know that whatever you're going through, you gotta take it with you. That's your cross. That's your cross. You see how you get it on four corners? Left, right, front, back. Isn't that a cross? That's a cross. Take it with you. And knowing the joy of the Lord that he's going to bless you and he's going to continue to encourage you and keep you moving. Yeah. Give God a hand clap of praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Big mouth. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
there anyone here who is not saved, who is out of relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And let's close our eyes and bow our heads and meditate on this. This is a very sacred moment. There's no talking. There's no moving. Anyone who do not know Christ and you would like to get in the relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you come forward. Anyone that is saved but been out of relationship with Christ and is ready to reestablish that relationship, please come forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are all saved and we are all in a right relationship with you. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I clap the praise. Now, as disciples of Christ, there are some things that we come up against. If you would like to be prayed for, if you would like just some encouragement touch, an encouraging touch, so that you can go on and continue to run this race, I ask that you come down for prayer. Now, mind you, we want to be encouraged and lifted up because we want to continue to run this race because we have responsibility and accountability. So when you're coming down, know that what you're taking back not to keep to yourself. You're taking it back because you have to give it away. This is not for yours to keep. Your discipleship, you own it because you're God's, you're Christ, but you don't keep it. He didn't do that. He shared the word with us and he gave the word with us.
Yeah.
And he wants you to do the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.